Amen. You can keep playing that, Brother Moshe. I want to dismiss our young adults. I know that they need to go prepare now for fellowship hour. And then I also want to ask our youth to move over to this section. You can keep playing. Our youth, would y'all move over this way? And any other youth that we have here, would you all come to these first few pews and join us now? As they come, would you again thank our panelists for the wonderful work that they did today? I said this at Bible study on Wednesday for those of you that participated. We have some amazing young adults here who have different arrays of backgrounds and who do extraordinary work. The young lady that led on this side, Cecily Hill, is a graduate of Harvard or a master's from Harvard University and does work with community development. And we're praying for her as she continues to think about her future and what God is going to be calling her to. And then Wolfgang serves in the armed forces, and especially for the Army Reserve, is that right? National Guard, and serves in that. So would you give him a big round of applause? You see some new faces with VOP this morning. We have up here Marvin. Marvin, raise your hand. You'll hear me allude to a conversation with Marvin. Marvin is getting his PhD at the University of Texas in astrophysics, so we're praying for him. We also have Warnisha up there in the choir stand. This is, she has been visiting with us and joining with us. She touched bases first with the Ellisons and have been coming ever since. And she has two beautiful children and have been enjoying joining us with our youth and young adults and Bible studies. So good to see you, Warnisha. And y'all know Jasmine. Coming home from that school up the road, that's the wannabe Baylor. Mary Hardin Baylor University is one of our own. Kyra Tucker, who's home for spring break. So we're glad to have her. Good to see you, brother musicians. I really want that message to settle with all of us because it's the crux of my sermon this morning. Lord, give me you. I'm going to transition in a second. I want Apollonia. Where are you? Come up, Apple. I want her to read our text this morning, and as she prepares to do so, I want you to think about what Christ is inviting us to, and especially to our youth, all right? So as Apple reads that, we will receive the word of God. So, Apple?
Good morning, Ebenezer family and friends. Today's scripture lesson comes from Matthew 19, verses 13 through 14. I will be reading from the International Version. Then people brought little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked them. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." May the Lord bless the readers and listeners of his holy word.
I know that for those of you who've been in church for a long time, you know that the preaching moment is a sacred moment. Thank you, ushers. And you know that as we prepare for this time, especially at Ebenezer, we highlight the gift that is preaching. It's a serious time. It's something that is carefully crafted, worked on, and the words and thoughts that we bring to you are brought through us by God. So this moment is kind of hard for me, for several reasons. One of those reasons being that I'm not looking at 100 kids. Okay? There's not a center row of people that I do not know. I know every last one of our children this morning that join us in worship, especially those who are members here at Ebenezer. And I know their struggles. I know some of their testimonies. I know what makes them laugh, as y'all saw with Trey, who got a little bit out of line and tried to make some jokes. I can joke with them and have fun with them in a different capacity. So I don't want to preach a traditional sermon. So y'all look at me real quick. I want to talk to you about the text today. I want you to really instill something, because if there's nothing that you ever learn from me, this text is one of the most important texts that I think. And here's a caveat about it. Y'all notice that it's only three verses. I think oftentimes, especially with our youth, we will do that. We'll give them a little snippet of something to do, right? Just because it's three verses doesn't mean anything. It's surrounded by great passages of Christ's work in the world and what he's doing, but that doesn't take away from what Christ is getting at when he invites the children to come to me. And I know y'all are not children, so let me just say that. Y'all are young people, you know, you want your money, right? You're a professional dancer. Y'all are doing all kinds of amazing stuff on softball and cheerleading and extracurricular activities. I get it. Van, you know, you're a little grown man, and I don't know about the one sitting next to you. But as we prepare, I want to give some reflections about the text this morning, and I don't want you to be offended because I'm directing my message at them. It has nothing to do with me not preparing or not writing down a sermon. Sometimes all of that can go over their head. And what I want to say to them, I want them to gather it, to collect it, and to store it for something that can be given to them. I thought many times of how to write out this manuscript. It just did not work. It didn't work because I thought about each and every one of you, and I've been thinking about you and what I could say to you so that it'd be meaningful. So let me first start with the context of the scripture. What you should know, and all of us should gather when we think about Matthew 19, is that there's a lot happening in the passage. It's similar to what's happening in our world, not necessarily each of the circumstances, but that we're surrounded with a lot going on. And y'all may not understand exactly how much is going on right now. I get it. You don't watch CNN unless you do. You may not watch Fox or MSNBC unless you do. You may not read newspapers. But all of us know that there's a lot happening right now. Isn't that right? Now, I heard somebody shouting out the answers, and I didn't hear that person shout out, "That's right." Who is that? So let me say it again. We all know that there's a lot happening in the world. Isn't that right? Okay. I know it was over in this corner over here. But what we see in Matthew 19 is that Jesus has just finished teaching. And I mean, it's a lot of teaching. The reason why I say that is because in chapter 17 of Matthew, he's transfigured. Do y'all know what that means? Okay. And the King James Version says, like the sun, his face shined bright. And his garments appeared white as light. And beside him on this mountain, when he takes up the big three, as some preachers call Peter, James, and John, he's on this mountain and he's showing himself and the glory of who he is, because we know that Christ is fully God and fully human. Y'all not in our Bible study, but I'll explain that to you later. And so he shines himself bright, and he makes himself known to them, right? And as he's shining himself, or as he's showing himself, this transfiguration, joining alongside of him is Moses and Elias, these early church fathers, or these church fathers, or the biblical fathers in the text. And so everybody knows who they are. And these three see that Jesus is gathered with these two men. It's amazing what's happening. And then he comes down off of the mountain and he begins teaching instantly about a lot of stuff. He talks about divorce. He talks about how to be in reconciliation with others. He talks about making sure that you know how to be a good Christian. He goes through a list of things. It's almost as if Jesus knows that he's going to die. When you know something is going to happen in your life, you know something serious, whether you're about to retire, whether you're about to get a new job, whether you're about to get a promotion, whether you're going off to school, you start getting ready, right? Y'all start preparing your scholarships. You start writing letters. Y'all ask me for letters of recommendations. You start asking for all kinds of different things, and you try to prepare. And that's what Jesus is doing in chapters 17, 18, and 19. And 19, he just finished talking about divorce. And there are some scholars who would say that when you get to this next part of the verse, particularly our text today, 13 through 15, that the children and this kind of back and forth that's happening is based off of this negating or this kind of doing away with the thought of abstinence. I don't know. They can have that argument by themselves. All I know is that Jesus makes a plea and he says, bring the children to me. So let me recount that, or let me bring that back in the forefront so y'all understand what's going on. There's a lot happening. Say, there's a lot happening. I couldn't hear you. Not y'all. Y'all. Yes, uh-huh. And because there's a lot happening in the text, when Jesus says, bring the children to me, it's something serious. He says that there's a lot going on around. And when the people bring the children to him, notice it's not their family members. That's for the adults in the room. It's not just their family members that are bringing the children. Did y'all catch that? Okay, it may have went over your head, so let me say it again. If our community doesn't recognize that our children need Jesus, and if we continue to profess that everything they do is just as important as Jesus, then we have lost our way. Let me say it again. If we proclaim that sports are just as important, if we proclaim that money and getting and taking care of your education is just as important as Jesus, then we are not preaching what or teaching what is happening in Matthew chapter 19. It is our job to make sure that we all bring the children to Jesus. It is a necessity. There is nothing else in the world that is greater than knowing Jesus. There is nothing that can fulfill them like Jesus. There is nothing else that can save them like Jesus. There is nothing else that can grant them peace, that can get them through a storm like Jesus. And if we continue to spread this message, if you would, this philosophy that everything in your life is important to go and strive and be the best you can be and leave out Jesus, we've left or lost the mark. So when they say they brought the children to Jesus, there was a lot going on. I tried to imagine what they could have had going on. Maybe some of their children, and let's remove the word children and say maybe their youth was dealing with sexual thoughts. Maybe it's some vulgar language. Maybe it's some issues with their parents. Maybe it is relationship issues with your partner or somebody that you love. Maybe the people thought to bring the youth to Jesus because somebody noticed that their kids needed to be changed. Don't miss that. You are not the first person to deal with what y'all are dealing with. I don't know what it is. Maybe I do, maybe I don't. You're not the first person to go through it. You're not the first person to get angry. You're not the first person to want to fight. You're not the first person to want to give up. You're not the first person to say, I can't make it. You're not the first person to be stressed and to have anxiety. You're not the first person to say, I don't want to come to church. Matter of fact, most of these adults in here this morning, when that hour jumped ahead, was like, I don't know if I want to go to Youth Sunday. You're not the first one. You're not the first one to get up and say, I don't know what the preacher is talking about, or I don't like that music that they're singing. You're not the first one to want to say that I don't like the uniforms that we wear, or I don't like the different things that we talk about because it has nothing to do with me. You're not the first one to cry. You're not the first one to think, why am I here? Not just in life, but why is this situation my situation? Why do I have these parents or don't have these parents? Why don't I have this money or my family don't have the means to do stuff? And I don't know what it is. I'm covering a vast array. I'm not picking on any of you. All I'm saying is in the community, I think they decided to bring the children to Jesus because they saw that the children needed him. So that's the first part. And Jesus says, let them come. With open arms, it doesn't matter what they did, what they said. It doesn't matter that he was tired and the disciples was trying to say, listen, we rebuke you. Meaning, listen, turn away. Right now is not the time. He's too busy. He's been talking all of this and he needs a break. The children can wait. Mm-mm. Jesus says, bring them to me. There is nothing too small. Let me say this again, because I remember whenever I was your age, I used to think there was some things that Jesus just didn't care about, right? And you'd be like, okay, how should I pray about that? Because he doesn't care. He says, come to me. That's the first thing. That's your first point. Come to him. I was trying to think of an analogy and to kind of help y'all think about this picture and what y'all may be going through, right? So there's a video on YouTube about this plane that is preparing to take off in London. It's a true story. The pilot's name, I can't remember now. And the pilot gathers the flight crew and the other pilots, and he decides that it's time for their briefing, that they need to go through the schedule. And what you need to know about the briefing is that it said that all the skies were clear, that they were not going to run into any bad weather. They looked at it. They saw the reports. There's nothing that says this is going to be a bad day for their flight. Smooth sailing ahead. So they work it out. The pilot says that it's going to be about 5 hours. That's the amount of time that it would take for them to get from London to wherever their destination is. So they get in the plane. It's an overnight flight, so it's dark. And they're flying through the skies, and it's clear. In fact, it's going so well. The first leg of the flight, the flight crew and the pilots decide everything's going so well. You can go and take your dinner, put the plane on autopilot. So they do. And the captain looks at this radar, and he sees that on the radar, the screen is clear. So after I finish eating, I can go use the restroom. We're on his way down from the flight crew. It's a 747. Y'all know what a 747 is? It's one of, or what used to be the largest commercial and passenger airplane. Has four huge engines. It's what President Biden flies on. Y'all know the big old, United States of America Air Force One. Okay. Four engines. That's important for you to know. Four engines. So on this plane, the captain comes down from the flight crew and he goes to the restroom, except he gets deterred because he starts talking to some of the people that are on the plane. He starts talking to the flight crew. And as he's talking to them and, y'all didn't push these chairs back. So he goes and on this flight, as he's talking to the people, before he can get to the restroom, he gets a call to come straight back up to the cockpit. As he's going back up the stairs on the air vents, he sees that there's some white smoke entering into the plane. He's not sure what it is, so he rushes to the cockpit. He sees that the flight crew has taken care of everything that needs to be done, but he looks at the radar, and the radar seems clear. He's like, what's going on with this? I don't understand. And so they keep looking, and all of a sudden, he looks out the window and they see these blue flashes of lightning. I mean, it's remarkable. It looks beautiful. And in fact, they're used to this because if you fly through bad weather as a pilot, you'll notice that like the atmosphere changes when you get to a certain height, and it's raining and all that in the clouds. It's a lot of stuff happening, okay? But then it changes, and it gets a little bit more dangerous. And before they can figure out what's going on, the first engine fails. So they're trying to figure it out. They start going through their checklist. They can't figure out what's happening. Second engine fails. And they're like, okay, well, we still got two good engines. Let's try to work through this. Let's turn off everything, bring it back up, and try to reboot it. Third engine fails. Now you're starting to get a little panic. They look outside the window, and they see that the engines look like they're on fire. But it's not fire. It's this atmosphere change with all this blue stuff going on. And the third engine fails, and the fourth engine fails. Y'all realize that if all four engines have failed, they just coasting. Y'all do know what happens when you're just coasting in the sky without engines, right? Huh? What happened? What? Right, they won't be coasting for long. You got it, Trey. So they're going down, and they're trying to figure this out. They're high enough to where they can run through all of this, and they put the plane in autopilot. They're trying to walk through all of this. I mean, they're doing everything they can. Here's what I want you to take from that story and that part of it. Y'all are like these majestic people with your futures looking ahead of you, just like that 747. It was known as the Queen of the Skies, right? You have your whole life ahead of you. Y'all know what your plans are. You know what you want to do. Maybe it'll change and all of this type of stuff. And what you don't get sometimes is why things happen the way they happen. And it seems as if though the things around you are kind of, you know, like, wow, that's exciting to look at, but it looks dangerous. I don't know. And sooner or later, you'll get caught up and one engine will fail. You'll go through different thoughts and anxieties, and then you start failing your classes. Second engine fails. Your parents are going through some stuff at home. You don't know how to help them. You're like, what is this? What this got to do with me? Third engine fails. It's time for you to move on to the next grade, and you don't know if you're going to pass. You don't know if you're going to make it to college. You don't know if you're all this right. And the fourth engine fails, and you're just like coasting. Why is my life like this? And as you're coasting, I want you to keep your eye on the target. Jesus says, come to me. I'm almost finished. He says, come to me. And then he says, the kingdom is theirs. Wait, I'm just a child. I'm just a youth, right? What do you mean the kingdom is mine? Not this building, not the money, not, you know, the fancy stuff and the cars and the clothes, not the relationships. He says his kingdom will be yours. He's not talking about when you die. Let's get that thought out of your head. No, he's saying right now, the tangible, everything you want. So quit setting your minds on just one particular degree or one job or one career field, or one particular service act that you want to do in the community. Anything that you put your mind to is his kingdom. Do y'all get that? Everything that you want to do or succeed, or how you want to succeed in life, all belongs to Jesus. And he says, all of us, not just you, but all of us should have the faith of a child. Because just like a child, our future is in his hands. Our kingdom, or his kingdom, is ours to have. His critique is of everyone that is listening. Even though he's touching and laying hands on the children, he's saying to them and to everybody that is gathered around, you should have the faith of a child. You should have your eyes fixed on that thing, just like children do. Your life is not over because of your age. Your life is not over because you've gone through your career and you've done this and you've done that. You still have life to live. And so he tells them the kingdom is theirs. Here's the last part about that plan, and then I'm done. And then I want to, if you would allow me, to pray with you and to lay hands on you. They get a call from the airport in which they are trying to land at. And it's a pilot. A pilot who's already been through the storm. And the pilot says, it looks clear on your radar, but before you left, you may not have been aware that there was a volcano that had just exploded. And so when you get to a certain height, the ash in the clouds are unseeable to the eye, but you see the blue streaks in the air. That's the electrifying work in the whatever. That's the astrophysicist right there. That's happening. And he says, all you have to do is allow your plane to come out of the clouds. He says, you need to coast a little bit. Now, remember, they had just lost all four of their engines, right? So they're already coast. They were coasting before they knew what coasting was, that they had to coast. They were coasting even though they thought their life was in danger. It's the only way to restart the engines. So he says, if you coast a little bit longer, you get under a certain altitude, you'll be able to restart engine. And so they had just reached that peak and engine one turned on. So he says, well, let's try to get the other ones on. 2, 3, and 4 all came on at the same time. And so they are able to go. But he says, don't get too high in the clouds, because then you're going to run into the same situation. Here's what I'm trying to get to. The kingdom is yours. You can have everything you want, but sometimes it looks as if though the people around us are not as successful as we want them to be. The people around us are not what we want in life. They can't tell us anything. I'm talking about your parents, your grandparents. I'm talking about your church member. I'm talking about your friends. They may never get there. Come out of the clouds a little bit, though. Talk to somebody who's been there before. Talk to somebody who has gone through it. All you got to do is say, hey, it's nice to meet you. My name is such and such. That person going to say, well, good to meet you. So they're going to ask you some questions and y'all will have a conversation. Y'all don't know how to do that anymore because y'all always on your phones. I want you to learn how to come out of the clouds a little bit and learn how to turn your plane over to Jesus. And Jesus says with open arms, come to me. I've been through this storm. I've seen it. I've lived this life. Remember, he's just been talking about it. I told y'all at the beginning of the sermon, I'm going to quiz you right after this. He came through all of this and he's been telling them there are some things that y'all have going on, but come to me because I've lived that. I've been through that. Lastly, as I say this, my life is not perfect. Pastor Freeman's life is not perfect. The deacons' lives are not perfect. The trustees, the ushers, the choir, and all of these people in here, they may be refined, may be dignified, but nobody is perfect. Matter of fact, that's one of the reasons why I come to church. Just remind myself that I'm surrounded by people who are imperfect. Here's the thing. Y'all may not get it, and you may not understand now, but just because it seems like people have it together doesn't mean that they do. And we're all in the same boat. We're all trying to get to that perfect peace, that inner peace. You can have all the money you want and be as miserable as you can in life. If you don't have Jesus or that inner peace, it doesn't matter. Amen. Jesus is the peace that we need. And the reason why I say this to myself is because I know oftentimes y'all don't get this from the pulpit, right? We're not supposed to talk about ourselves because it's not about us, but I know where you are. I get it. We have all been there. And here's what I want to tell you. No matter what you do, no matter how you do it or how far away you get from the church and church people, stay in touch with God. Y'all get me? All right, stand up for me. Musicians, you can come. Would y'all come on this front row for me? Ebenezer, would you stand where you are? Remember, this is yours to have. Anything you want is yours to have. Happiness, joy, peace, money, success, relationships, it's yours to have. But you're going to go through some things before you get there. There is no free ticket to success. Before you succeed, you will fail. Somebody said, try again. I'm going to touch each of you as I pray. I believe that there is a passing of anointing that happens, not because I'm perfect, but because when I was ordained and ministers are ordained, God works through us to show you that even through imperfect people, God can use you. So when I lay my hands on you, it's only to tell you and to show you that I'm passing the baton of faith, the baton of hope and joy, the baton of Christ. When you leave this place, you have to leave changed. You can't keep doing the same thing that you've been doing. You can't keep hanging around the same people that you've been hanging around. And I don't mean that because they're bad people. I'm saying don't let people draw you into mess, to gossip, to fighting, to, y'all know. Y'all got it, right? Change your crowd, your circumstances. Change your mindset. Come to Christ and his kingdom will be added to you. Close your eyes for me. Ebenezer, would you extend your right hands to them? God, I ask your blessings upon all of our youth. I pray blessings of success. God, I pray blessings of peace. I pray blessings of conviction and of wisdom. I pray blessings of prosperity. I pray blessings of anointing and power. I pray blessings of sound mind. I pray blessings that they would be Christians who chase after you more than they chase after the success of the world. God, I ask that you cover our youth. I ask that you would be with them in their daily walk. God, be with them when they wake up and when they go to sleep. Be with them when they're texting on their phones or when they're interacting with their classmates. Be with them, oh God, when they want to give up and give out. God, I ask that you would be with them on their journeys of life and of education, of career choices and of relationship choices. God, I ask that you would cover them. We extend our hands to show, oh God, that we as a community stand with our children, with our youth. We, oh God, stand as a community trusting that you and you alone will cover them. God, there is no science. There is no math. There is no psychology or physiology. God, there is no degree or anything that can replace you. I don't know how the world works. I don't know how it is that you've made the universe. I don't know what it is that you're doing day by day. I don't even know what your will is, but God, I trust that you would be with them just as you've been with us, just as you've been with our pastor, just as you've been with our deacons, just as you've been with Sister Bell, and as you've been with our youngest child. God, I ask that you would remind them that Jesus Christ is the way. That Jesus Christ is the way. And that in that way, all of these things can be theirs. And so we claim it in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus,
The matchless name of Jesus, the powerful name of Jesus, we claim it. We claim victory in that name. We claim success and peace in that name. And by the aid of the Holy Spirit, amen and amen. Y'all can be seated where you are. Maybe that message is for somebody here this morning who don't know Christ. Maybe that message is for someone here this morning who wants to know the way. So today we offer Christ. Our deacons and our ministers are going to come. And as we come and as we extend our arms to you, come down the aisle. Give him your life. It doesn't matter where you are in this room. If that choice is yours, if you are searching for a Christian home that supports and that aids you in your walk, please come. Come now. We offer this message to you. We offer Christ to you. We extend our arms to you because we know that Christ is the way. Would you come?
There is none like you.
Would you stand? Sorry. We offer Christ to you wherever you are.
No one else can touch my heart like you do. I can search for all eternity long
and find
there is none like you.
Would you come if you're here? Would you come now? Would you come?
There is none like you.
No one else can touch my heart like you do.
No one else can touch my heart like you do.
I can search
for all eternity long
and find
there is none like you.
There's somebody here this morning. Would you come? Would you come? There is none.
There is none like you.
Jesus is still the way, isn't he? No one else can touch my heart.
No one else can touch my heart like you do.
I can search
for all eternity long.
Be seated.
And find
our youth, just how much we love them. Would you celebrate them? Come on, you can do better than that. Would you encourage them? Y'all know I love you, right? Yes? Okay, great. Would y'all stand? We're going to process out. As we do that, please be reminded of our fellowship hour. Come in fellowship with our youth. In fact, I'm not going to make y'all stand at the back today. We're going to process out, and then I want y'all to go straight to the fellowship hall, and everybody's going to greet you there, okay? Ebenezer, would you receive now our benediction?